the Springfield Groove. We're back. Back in the Springfield Groove.
This episode of the Patches and Stitches Simpson Podcast Extravaganza is brought to you by Mr. Kwan's Takeout. Mr. Kwan's, you'll be swimming in a galaxy of prongs. Welcome to the podcast. Let's start it out right from the start, with the most important part of the podcast, the rundown.
Well, this week in the Simpsons household, we see Bart and Milhouse dressed up in drag, jumping up and down on the bed, until Bart gets hurt and ends up in a wheelchair. Because he is disabled, the school, Springfield Elementary, has to become ADA compliant, which they are not. So Fat Tony steps in with the crew and builds ramps and other things. They don't do a good job, but they build them for the school and they give Principal Skinner the bill and bankrupt the school. Now the school is closed and the townspeople don't know what to do. So they try to think of some ideas, including trying to get the money out of Mr. Burns. But a private company, Kids First Industry, steps in and buys the school. First thing they do is get rid of the teachers, get rid of all the things that made Springfield Elementary what it was. And what they're actually trying to do is some market research on what the new hot Christmas toy will be. And so instead of having classes, they are asking the kids what their favorite toys are. Lisa gets wise to this and starts being suspicious and busts them. But the industry, Kids First Industry, doesn't care. So they just keep doing what they're going to do. And they come up with a toy called Funzo, which is what Stitches and I call this episode, the Funzo episode. And Lisa's not happy with this. And Bart's okay with this until they realize that Funzo is not just a toy, the new hot toy, but it's also something that destroys all the other toys that kids own. And so then Lisa and Bart go on a mission and they get Homer to cooperate to get all of the Funzos on Christmas Eve. And they take all the Funzos in Springfield and they destroy them. And the episode ends with the Simpson family eating Christmas dinner with Mr. Burns, Mo, and Gary Coleman. And that is the rundown.
One thing that I love about this episode is that it's so smooth, and your rundown is the opposite of that. Not smooth at all, jittery, and just jumping around from here to there.
I honestly thought the opposite. I thought this episode's not very smooth, and I thought my rundown was silky.
Last week's episode, Simpson episode, was the story structure was all off, and this one just I disagree. It blends so nicely, and it goes into Christmas without you even knowing.
See, the
what
listeners
was happening.
Can't see it, but I'm just like sitting here right now, shaking my head. Like you and I just see the world in such a different view. I watched this episode, and I thought they went from Bart and Milhouse. What was it? The ozone was going to. Do you remember how the episode starts?
Yes, there's an ozone leak in the atmosphere, and it's burning.
So
people.
Then Milhouse has to like run into their house, and then
yes,
Bart gets hurt.
Then they're
and then there's some there's some good jokes about him going to the doctor, and then all of a sudden they have to build some
do the wheel.
You know,
which everything that you're saying makes sense. It goes
not.
From. Milhouse entering the Simpsons.
It does not make any sense.
And then it makes complete sense. And then he gets hurt and they go to the hospital and then he's in a wheelchair and then the school has to build all these ramps.
That does
ramps.
Not make sense. And then Fat Tony's there and then they bankrupt the school, which would not happen. And then this
now we're going off of plausibility.
And then the by the way, we're going to talk about the episode more, but then the families all get together and try to think of a way to solve it, which they don't at all. And then some private business buys the school. And then not only does the private business buy the school, but then they have like ulterior motives, which doesn't make any sense. And then, which kind of makes maybe a little bit of sense, but then all of a sudden their toy is evil. And they have Gary Coleman as the security guard. And then Homer's is going to be
their ploy is evil, but can a Can an evil company come up with a great product that people love? Yes,
we'll talk about that.
Can this...
And then I was thinking about this today that, like, okay, so then Homer, you know, like, this toy is supposed to be, like, just the hottest, you know, like, the hot Christmas toy. But Homer and Lisa and Bart go to, like, what? Well, we only see them go to two houses. But then, like, they just go, let's say, like, he has a bag full of Funzos, which can't be more than 20 or 30, and he burns them, and that solves the whole problem. No, it's a herky-jerky episode.
It's not a herky-jerky episode. It smoothly goes from Thanksgiving to Christmas, and...
Smoothly?
The story structure is amazing. This is a classic Simpsons story structure, and it... I don't know.
It's not smooth. It's herky-jerky. Stitches. Yeah. It's good though. I liked the episode. I'm not trying to bang on the episode. I'm just trying to say it was not smooth. It was funny. And
I'm glad you like it, but all right.
Yeah, because this is not going well. So the one thing I'll say, I think it's a herky jerky episode, but each jerk that they or twist that they put in there, it was funny. So like when Milhouse wants to dress up in drag, and then Bart's like, no, I don't want to do that. That's weird. And are you scared? Or I forgot what Milhouse says. It's like, okay.
So one thing about this episode that I like, a blanket statement, is that all supporting cast were on target, from Kent Brockman to Chief Wiggum to Ralph to Mr. Burns to Principal Skinner, like every Lindsay Nagel, anybody who touched this episode was bringing their A game, in my opinion.
Oh, by the way, you don't have to say "in my opinion," because if you say it, it is your opinion. I'm sorry. You know me. I get mad when people. Anyway, I agree. And I would even say, like, I thought Homer was a bit of a supporting cast. And I thought he nailed his supporting part, too.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. He doesn't really come in until the third act, and boom.
Boom. He's there. Well, you know what? Another line. Well, let's just get into it. Is that one of my laugh out loud moments was when they build all the ramps, and then Principal Skinner's announcing, like, "Oh, for our boy who's disabled, and hopefully we'll have many more disabled kids." Bart Simpson, and then Bart is not in the wheelchair anymore, mm-hmm. and like the crowd parts to let Bart walk through while he's coming up. And you see Homer in the background, and he's like, "I'm so proud of you, boy." Or I forgot what he says, but it's a good.
"I'm proud of you,
boy." It's good animation, yeah. And it's funny. And then all of a sudden, Bart comes up, and Principal Skinner's upset that he's not in the wheelchair anymore. And I forgot what was the line that Bart says. Something about
my butt bones. The doctor says my butt bones better than ever.
And then he starts bouncing off his butt, and like all the people like give him a golf clap. Like they don't know whether they should clap or not. They're like, yeah, okay.
Right.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
So since we're talking about that part, that's my first nugget, is that in the – or nugget or observation, you decide, is in the crowd is Sherry and Terry's mom. And
I was going to ask you that.
You don't get to see her often, but she looks like them, but she has a different color hair, and she has – funky 60s style glasses.
Okay, I'm not gonna give you a full nugget, but I'll see your observation and raise your observation. I was noticing Martin Prince's parents.
Yes.
Okay. Good. I wasn't just crazy. I'm too. Like, because I saw them at the meeting, which also was funny when they have the meeting. I'm guessing, I don't know if that was at Principal Skinner's house, how they can raise money. And
it was.
Homer kept on wanting to know where the buffet was. Do you know the scene I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. I saw Martin Prince's, I know his father, I think. He's got square glasses.
And they just draw them in.
I don't know if I know Sherry and Terry's parents. I'm going to watch this episode again. I'm going to give you a full nugget for that.
I've never seen their dad. It's just their mom.
But you're also right that and it is a herky-jerky episode. The scene where they're trying to convince Mr. Burns to fund the school.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
That is my, that's one of my, that whole scene is a laugh out loud for me, where he's like, everything that they say is where he's like, this play really speaks to me.
Yes.
After Principal Skinner's like, it could even be served to Mr. Burns.
Yes. Every or line even, that he says is funny.
And I always want to use the focus.
I have some lines that we'll talk about later. This episode does have lines that I use in my everyday life.
And the Dr. Stupid. I never liked that Dr. Stupid.
I didn't remember that one. I laughed at that one this time. Here's a line that I don't use in my life, but I'm going to now, is when Principal Skinner was talking to Fat Tony about when they build the school and do we really need all that? And Fat Tony says, does a peacock need all those feathers?
Yes.
I never used that line before, and I heard that one this time, and I thought that was the best line. Does a peacock really need all those feathers?
That was a laugh-out-loud moment for my son.
Really?
I'm glad that he laughed. Yes, he was like, he laughed out that, he was like, does a peacock really need that many feathers? I don't know. It was good.
Oh, cool.
I love that line.
So I have the sense of humor of an 8-year-old, so that's cool. Tim Robbins was in the episode. I thought he did well. Did you see that? He did the guest voice of the male version of Lindsay Nagel.
Yeah.
And I like that. They do use like Lindsay Nagel, and they normally have another like executive guy person who's opposite that. It's just a normal one of the actors who do it, but I kind of like the fact that he was in the episode.
Yeah, he was good balance to her.
He was funnier, I thought.
Yeah, he didn't steal the show though.
Oops. Nope. No. Spoiler.
But they did have a lot of guest stars in here. Did you one of them that surprised me was the narrator at the end.
I got my cheat book. Who is it?
His name is my name too. No, it's
Clarence Clements as the narrator.
Clarence Clements. And he is a saxophone player for the, what is it, Bruce Springsteen East Street Band.
Oh, wow. You did a little research, huh?
I did a lot of research for this episode, to be honest. He actually passed away in 2011, so that's
my goodness,
also
I don't want
sad.
His biography. His research is too much research.
And then, of course, Gary Coleman's in this episode.
Of course. Mr. Coleman.
Of course.
Do you want to get into any of his stuff, or you want to wait just a little bit?
No, let's get right into Gary's. Let's All get right. into Gary's lines.
So when you told me about the Funzo app, you're like, first off, I want to touch on that. Is like, we pick these shows at random, and I'm really proud of that, because normally when I do stuff at random, it's like, it's my obsessive way of being random, which isn't really random. But sometimes I will just pick a season and pick a number, or sometimes I will go down and grab one of our VHS tapes and say that's it, or whatever episode's new, or sometimes I'll pick my favorite episode. And this week we picked this episode because you wanted to pick this episode, right?
Right.
And so last week, off air or off podcast, however you want to call it, you said, how about we watch the Funzo episode? And the first thing that when you said Funzo episode, the first thing I thought of was Gary Coleman. Let's do it. And so I remembered a lot of lines, and I remember a lot of this episode. But the one line that I really remembered, or that really hit me this one, was when he said, that's the biggest ripoff from Webster.
Yes, I caught that one too this time.
And I caught it last time, but I just didn't think it was that funny. But you are not a kid of the 80s like I was as much. And do you know the Webster reference?
Well, I did some research on it. So
I
researched different strokes and Webster. And I was like, because I
You're
knew
killing this
I
podcast
like
with
that
your
was,
research, you know.
I felt like that was a solid burn for them to do towards Webster. And yeah, that was them throwing some shade for sure.
That's a Simpsons, not just Different Strokes,
right,
but Different Strokes was a very popular show and that I remember watching. And that's where Gary Coleman would say, what's she talking about, Willis? And him and his older brother, I don't know if they were adopted or They lived in some foster home. They were adopted by a white father. And then all of a sudden Webster came along, and he had white parents too.
Right.
Webster, I remember being a little bit cuter than Gary Coleman, but Gary Coleman was funnier.
Yeah, do you remember the time when those shows were running and you're like, oh, these are very similar style shows? Or were you like,
whatever? I probably wasn't wise enough or smart enough at the time to realize that Hollywood just rips off each other so, you know, like so blatantly. And so right. You're just like, oh, these are both good shows. Which one do I like more? And I think I did lean to the Webster a little bit more. He was cute and funny. But Gary Coleman had the memorable lines. He was right. Funny too, yeah.
One thing that resonates with this episode, and it's kind of interesting, is it's at the end where two things. Homer goes, he's inviting Gary Coleman over, and he says, my wife always makes too much sweet potatoes.
Sweet potatoes.
It's just the way he says that. I was like, oh, yeah. And then Gary says, like, oh, no, I'm going to George Clooney's house. And then Lisa's tone, like, where she says, Gary, like, yeah. That replays in my head over and over, like, Gary, I don't know why.
So here's
Patches.
Patches. Here's one for me was, I remember this episode that Gary Coleman, when Lisa starts talking about at the end, when the commercialization of selling Christmas gifts or whatever, and Gary Coleman says, that's a very glib interpretation.
Yes.
That was a word when Gary Coleman says that on The Simpsons that I did not know the meaning of glib. And I just started using that word then after that. And Simpsons do. They help my vocabulary quite often. And so I would start just using the word glib, and I didn't know, you know, what that meant, except for that Gary Coleman used it. And I, you know, when he says that's a glib interpretation, I always kind of meant it. I thought it meant like it's shallow. It's not, you know, it's like it's a first take, you know, it's like not deep enough kind of thing.
Right.
And so one of the reasons, Stitches, thank you for making me do this podcast or helping me do this podcast or whatever you want to call it, because this week I actually looked up the meaning of the word glib.
Perfect.
And it does mean fluent but shallow. That's what it kind of means.
Fluent but shallow, yeah.
So Gary Coleman does use it quite accurately. And like I said, I used to go around using the word glib all the time, not knowing what it meant, but just, well, Gary Coleman used it on The Simpsons, so I'm going to use it.
The nerdy thing is I also looked up the word glib this weekend because I kept saying it, and I was like, oh, I should actually figure out what the actual definition is of it.
You love this episode, yeah. Don't you? Like, you like spent the whole week just loving, wallowing in this episode. I think I could tell. I'm gonna start.
I watched it twice in one day. That takes some energy.
I wanted to watch it twice this week, but I just watched it one time, and I've seen this episode multiple times, so once was definitely enough because I love it.
So I watched it by myself first and loved every minute of it. Mm-hmm. And I'll go into the reason why this episode came up for me, because we were putting up our Christmas tree a couple weeks ago, and kids grabbed an ornament of Homer holding Funzo. We have an ornament of Homer holding Funzo.
Wow.
What is Homer holding? And I start going, writhing Funzos in my sack makes me happy, makes me hurt my back. And the kids start laughing, dying laughing. And it got to the point where every day they asked me to sing it.
Really?
And I was like, yeah. And still, they love when I do it. I'm like, all right, I'm not like, I'll do it two times in a row and then I'm done. And so I watched the episode by myself, and I'm like, all right, I think this is clear for the kids. So I brought it to the kids, and they were so excited. They're like, because they've been asking me, let's watch the Funzo episode. And the episode just died for them. Like, they didn't really laugh as much as usual. No. Like, it just got a couple jokes, and then came the part where that song came up, and Homer sang it, and they didn't laugh, and they didn't, and they're like, oh. And I was like, do you guys just like how I do it? And they're like, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you were kind of disappointed, but also kind of like, hey, I'm pretty special dude.
I'm just more disappointed that they didn't like this episode. You're more disappointed.
Yeah. All right. So you gave us the transition. Let's talk about Funzo for a little bit. So he was based on, I thought, Furby. But then in the episode, they kind of mentioned Furby and Tickle Me Elmo.
Right.
But then he did take a pretty dark turn when he starts destroying other toys.
Yeah, and I really like that part this watching or this viewing.
You do like it?
I do. I think it's a good technique for a toy company.
That's a good strategy. I wanted to bring up that I like when I see the Krusty doll.
Right.
Because I think that would be like a fun animation, right? It's like you can still do like Krusty jokes or like, you know, you have to make him in scale then with the other, you know, Simpson characters, but they get a lot of play. They can do whatever they want really with the Krusty doll because they normally make the Krusty doll talk. And then this one, Funzo strangles him and takes his head off.
And that part did get laughs from the kids, so. Especially when they ripped off Malibu Stacy's head.
Kids like that one?
Oh, yeah. It's always a rocking time with Funzo. Yeah. What did you think of the Terminator Funzo in the closet? Like the skeleton of Funzo? Is it? Do you think that's too
scary? He's in the closet? Are you talking about like when at the end when he's coming out of the fire?
No, when Lisa and Bart find him for the first time.
Oh. I think for kids.
Give me a hug.
I think for kids that would be scary. Not for me.
as a grown adult, you were not scared by that? I wasn't
too scared of an animated robot toy, no. But I don't know. They do draw it scary. I mean, the eyes are really big and he's a robot kind of thing.
But then they put fur on him and it's a totally different thing. So I'm really mad at Ooh. The Funzo has so many fun lines.
Do you think that they hit this commercialization of Christmas up too hard, or do you think they just kind of got it right?
I think they got it absolutely right, where they hit it up hard, but they were like, I like the whole Gary Coleman's like, yeah. Can an evil company make people happy? People are still happy with Funzo.
I think just the fact that we're going back to it, but just the fact they brought Gary Coleman into the episode made it just lighter and funnier. I don't know if the episode would have even been good without Gary Coleman.
Really?
I mean, it was that close that he just really, he brought the whole Funzo thing to be like, well, don't take it too serious. And then he was just super hilarious. The phone's not even plugged in. That part was funny, right?
I remember that part from earlier viewings of Bart stopping to listen and Lisa's being like, it's not even plugged in.
Right when they said that, I remember that Bart's going to say he's a few prawns short of a galaxy. Which, by the way, would be a good line.
They do the, what you talking about, Miss Nagel? Which is funny.
Yeah.
But then they bring it, the way they end this episode is also pretty amazing. Because they wrap up, they reference the Grinch, the Christmas Carol, and It's a Wonderful Life, all in the end. And then they end with, what you talking about, everyone? Which doesn't make any sense, but is hilarious and is very memorable.
And I remember you and I saying that to each other all the time.
Right.
And we still do.
What you talking
The other two lines, that one's one, and that ain't not bad.
The ironing is delicious.
Those are the three. I'd say, if you see me on any given day, I might say one of those three lines. It's hard to say the irony is delicious without saying ironing now for me. I can't do it. I mean, normally you don't say the irony is delicious, but I mean, like, if you're going to say it, you might as well say ironing.
Ironing.
But that ain't not bad. I think you and I say that all the time, don't we?
Yeah. That ain't not bad.
That ain't not bad. Anything else?
Yeah, I have a ton of stuff that we haven't
touched. You got another 20 minutes of worth of material.
I really do. All right, so.
Hit it.
One thing I found was really funny, and this goes into a poke the bear, is Principal Skinner and Fat Tony have a very good give and take, and they have in other episodes. Can you think of any other Simpson characters besides the Simpson family that have like a natural give and take?
So I can't pick any Homer stuff.
I would like you to think of non-Homer, but if It's something like when those two characters.
I'm trying to think of the famous ones right now because.
I would even give you like Principal Skinner and Super Nintendo Chalmers.
Well, you just took that one.
Yeah, I know. There we go. Think of another one.
All right.
And while you're thinking, I will give you a nugget.
Okay.
And it's a very random nugget. You know, like with the chalkboard gig in the beginning and the couch gig, everybody looks for those. And recently from doing this podcast, I'm starting to search deeper in the animation.
Oh my goodness.
And yeah. This is going to get super nerdy. When Bart goes by, you know, he's skateboarding.
Mm-hmm.
There's a shot of him going in front of the statue of Jebediah Springfield.
Okay.
Behind Jebediah Springfield is a store called Scoops, and it's an ice cream shop.
Nice.
And it's like stuff like that really freaks me out because, you know, like they have stuff like the Try and Save and King Tut's tunes.
That was my quiz question to you. You already stepped on my. What was the store's name? And you already got Try and Save, which I thought was kind of funny. On that, in real world, ice cream shops are pretty good, but I feel like laundry stores do the best at naming their stores. So okay. Clean, or I mean, like they, yeah, in real world, they like do the best job of naming their stores like stupid, you know, corny names. But Scoop would be a perfect, I mean, kind of want to steal that one, yeah. Don't you? If you owned your own business, would you come up with a corny name? I would.
I don't think so.
What's the point of owning your own business if you can call it AAA? Because I want to be the first one in the phone book. You're like, you suck. You still talk about the phone book, you know? Get out of there. It's like, give yourself a corny-ass name. Have fun with it. Scoop.
Yeah, but I guess that's marketing 101. You got to let people know who you really are. So I guess like Scoops would not be a bad ice cream shop name for sure.
So of like, I'm trying to think of the laundry ones like Suds McKenzie or, I mean, they always just have so much rub and tub. I mean, there's, it's the best.
I would never go to Rub and Tub.
No, don't do that. You'd get the wrong clientele. You'd not be happy with that name. So I was trying to think while you're talking, Lenny and Carl would be definitely some.
Ooh, there we go.
I was trying to think. I don't think Mr. Burns and Smithers do the best job together. I don't find their banter that. And then you took Principal Skinner and Chalmers, but I think Willie sometimes and Principal Skiller are just like natural enemies, and that works right. Well. I feel like that's really good.
How about Krusty and anybody? Do you know what I mean by like the magic that happens when Principal Skinner has to deal with Fat Tony?
Oh yeah, the jokes they're just the characters are so. And I'm trying to think like how Mr. Burns or Moe or Dr. Hibbard, you know, like how they react to people, and some of it's just not right. The actor is just staying within their scope, and I know exactly what you're talking about. It's like some actors just, it seems like the jokes are just fluent and they might ad lib together and it's really funny. And Fat Tony's a funny one because that's again Joe Mantegna, so he's not always on it, so for him to have like what we call a natural repertoire with one of the actors, you know, that's kind of cool. But that actually might make more sense as opposed to like the actors who work with each other each week, and you're just like, I'm sick of you. I don't want to do these lines anymore. Let's go to Showstopper.
All right.
I'm going to go first. I was leaning towards Milhouse because I thought he helped drive the plot and he was funny. Like you were saying, every scene he was in, he was funny. But I had to go with Gary Coleman.
Oh, man. How could you even doubt Gary Coleman?
No, you can't. I tried. I tried to stay away from him because I'm like, this is the Gary Coleman episode. But then he's so funny. And he is why we started this segment, right? We've talked about this before. We call this segment the Showstopper, where you're like, when he's on, you're like, this is hilarious. This is funny.
And you're right. If he's not part of this episode, it is down a couple ratings for me, for sure.
Definitely. It's just, he lightens up the episode. He has a couple memorable lines in the episode. I still think the episode's a little herky-jerky with the whole Funzo thing, but it works, so I gotta let it go.
I don't know. It just, it seems right to me. And like, feel good about how they started. Like, we kind of breezed over the whole Bart breaks his butt bone and
his coccyx,
like his coccyx, and everybody laughs. And then, oh, the other joke.
I laughed out loud. That was my laugh out loud. I cracked my coccyx.
Do you know when Dr. Hibbert puts in the window, the viewing window,
yeah,
in his cast,
yeah,
and then they cut to the grad students, and one of them says he needs to exercise more.
He could lose a little weight, or did he say he needs to exercise more? Yeah,
he needs to exercise a little bit more. But it's in that same kind of tone where they whisper it, so you have to really kind of listen to it, or have to be paying attention to it.
I had another laugh out loud. I had another laugh. Oh, I'm sorry. Are you going to talk about Gary Coleman some more?
No. Go ahead.
Was he your pick?
He was my pick for sure, yeah. What was your other laugh out loud moment?
When Lisa's going to bust him down and they're in the school with Chief Wiggum, and it says, "Danger, broom closet." And there was an exclamation, "Danger, broom closet." You know me, those are the jokes that I love. I'm just like, I don't
that's
know.
That's one I didn't even notice, so.
Because why would you ever write "danger broom closet"? Why wouldn't anyone not question that? You know, that's just kind of my sense of humor.
I like the. All right, who could think of another name with fun in it? Fun, Ralph. There's no wrong answers, but if you don't stop talking, I'm gonna give you an F. The before teacher yelled at me too.
Yeah, like you said, every side character was on in this episode. Yeah. Ralph nailed that line.
And all right, one last little tidbit. When they're doing the Funzo commercial,
yeah,
and the kid is holding the puppy, and then he just drops the puppy to grab Funzo. That one made me laugh this time too.
I didn't notice that one. So good job. That was cool.
So I was close to giving this a classic rating.
Oh goodness.
And then I know. And I was really like, the Gary Coleman segment just ended, and I was like, this has to be a classic. But then I thought, like, I really thought about it for a second. Oh, and I was like, I don't know if this is my favorite
Christmas episode.
What?
I gotta breathe because you're killing me. You just kill me with this stuff. What are you gonna give it?
I'm gonna give it a 9 out of 10.
Oh, I kind of appreciate that, because that means that it's good.
It's elevated because it's a Christmas episode. I think Simpsons do very good Christmas episodes.
I agree.
As good or better than Halloween episodes.
Wow.
Well, Bold statement, in my opinion.
The one defense of their Halloween episodes, they have to do those every year. Whereas at Christmas, they just kind of do them. I do agree with you, by the way, that their Christmas episodes are top notch. And meaningful and funny. But I know that you're serious because you just gave it 9 out of 10. So, like, your rating was, like, you took it serious as opposed to...
Wavering?
You know, you just kill me, though, that you can't... You're, like, holding back so much. So, my rating is delicious ironing. That's what I'm going to rate this one.
Okay.
It did have, like I said, three classic lines at least that I say. When you told me last week that it's going to be the Funzo episode, I knew it right away. There were two or three times that in the episode where I knew the next line that was coming. And I actually said it out loud. I said it with the character. So
See, the thing about your rating is I don't know how it compares to other Simpsons episodes that we've watched so far.
You're right. I'm keeping you in the dark. Yeah.
What are we watching next week?
You just want to be done, huh? Well, you don't want to do the rating discussion. We do that now. Well, before we go on to what we're watching next week, I do want to throw this out there. Is that we talk about how we pick these shows at random, and I want to do another random one. So we can ask our listeners to nominate an episode for us to watch. And this is what I want, is I want them to nominate a classic episode after season 20.
After season 20.
Don't you think? Well, my cheat book goes through season 20. So... And by cheap book, I mean you bought me this nice episode book of all the Simpsons through season 20, which we all thought
that wasn't me. That wasn't me. That was your wife.
Was it? And now you put it on tape. Oh my god, thanks Stitches.
I'm gonna have to cut that part out.
Please cut that part. Anywho, do you know my that wife. For sure? No, anyway, I shouldn't question. I'm digging deeper. So anywho, because can you think of a classic, and you can't say the word classic, I know, but can you think of a classic episode after season 20? I don't know if I could, but if any of the fans, the addicts out there, want to nominate a episode after season 20 that they think is classic, I think you and I would look at the list that they send in. And how can they send it in to us, Stitches?
They can leave us a voice message on our Anchor app. They can tweet us at Stitches Patches, or they can email us at the Patches and Stitches Simpson Podcast at gmail.com.
Is it the Patches and Stitches? Because you don't understand that emails actually have to be correct. You have to actually type the words. You can't just throw in extra pronouns in there. Or what is our email?
I'm looking it up to get it correct.
Articles.
It is Patches and Stitches Podcast at gmail.com. I was correct the first time. I don't know why you pressured me so hard.
You said the word "the" in there.
No, I didn't. I
think you mumbled. Let's let it go.
We're going to go back to the tape.
They should probably tweet us. So next week, we are going to watch Pulpit Fiction. That is season 24, episode 11.
Season 24, episode 11.
Chicken scratching Pulpit, is right.
Pulpit Fiction?
Pulpit Fiction is the name. I know it's season 24. My writing down of episode 11 is a little sketchy.
Have you seen this episode?
I don't know. This is one that I think I picked because I don't think I've seen it. I say it's random, but it's not that random. If I see an episode I haven't seen, I'm going to pick that one.
All right. There we go.
Anything to leave us with? Give us one line from this episode.
The warping dicks. Oh my god. Holy right. buckets.
Cut that part.
I got it. I can't wait until we're teenagers. Then we'll be happy.
Yes, nice. See you, everyone.
How about you? You got to throw a line out.
The Patches and Stitches Simpson Podcast Extravaganza is brought to you by the Patches and Stitches Family Foundation.
That ain't not bad.